And I'll ask you now to turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 42. We are working our way together through the Gospel of Luke under the heading, The Good News of God, according to Luke. This morning we want to consider together a kingdom mercy. We actually considered this to some degree last time, so this is, in a sense, the second part of maybe like a two-part mini-series on kingdom mercy. Again, our text this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. We're simply picking up where we left off last time with verse 37. Let's hear God's word. Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that's in your brother's eye. Thus far, the word of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as the Apostle Paul prayed for the church, so we pray for ourselves, Lord, that you might open the eyes of our hearts, that we might see the grace and mercy, the compassion that is ours in Jesus. This is our prayer, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's easy to be judgmental, isn't it? I mean, there's so many people all around us who don't know how to act. You know, there's people who don't know how to behave in public. There are people who don't know how to dress. There are people who go to Walmart in their pajamas, right? There's guys who wear their pants down around their knees. It's very easy to be judgmental because all around us there are people who just make the worst decisions. And I don't just mean fashion choices, but I mean some people just make such foolish decisions, and some people, it seems like their life is just one crisis after another, and it's very easy to be critical. It's very easy to be judgmental until you remember that, you know, somebody somewhere might be judging you. Because we've all had those days, you know, where you're running to Walmart and you realize you forgot to shave, or your hair's a mess, or you forgot to change, or you didn't realize you got food on your blouse, or sometimes you're in the grocery store and it's your kid that's misbehaving, or it's your family that's having a crisis. And when it's you having the bad day, then you're like, "Yeah, hey, don't judge me." When it's someone else, it's easy to jump to conclusions. It's easy to be critical. It's easy to be judgmental, especially when somebody has problems that you've just never had to deal with. You can't imagine that. It's very easy to be judgmental until you're the one with the problem. You're having the bad day. Your family is having a crisis. And then we want to say, "Hey, come on. Don't judge me." Well, last time we were looking at kingdom mercy. Where we left off, Jesus said, "Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful." Remember, we saw that God doesn't just send rain for the Christian farmers. And it's not just Christians who can enjoy the sun at the beach. But God sends his rain, and he sends the sun. And Jesus says he's kind even to the ungrateful and the evil. You know, that's how God is. He's merciful. He says, "Love your enemies. And then you'll be like your Father in heaven." Because God is good, and he's generous, and he's kind, and he's merciful, even to the evil, even to the ungrateful. And that's where we left off last time. Jesus says, "Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful." Well, this morning I want to encourage you to show others the kind of mercy that you want to receive. Look with me at our text. We're just picking up where we left off last time. Verse 37, Jesus says, "Judge not, and you'll not be judged." This is probably one of the most familiar verses in the Bible. If not this one, then the parallel one in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, judge not lest ye be judged. Probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. Even non-Christians often quote that verse. They may not know where it's from in the Bible. They may not even know it's from the Bible, but it's often quoted, judge not lest ye be judged, especially in our era of tolerance and the exceeding emphasis on tolerance. This seems to fit the mood of the day that we're not allowed to cast judgment on anybody or anything. I've probably mentioned before, when I was in college, I had a buddy in the dorm room next to me, and he was a believer, and he put Bible verses all over his dorm room on index cards. And before his roommate moved in, and his roommate moved in, and he evidently didn't like all these Bible verses, so he put up his own Bible verse. He put up one, judge not that you be not judged. You know, that's the go-to verse for non-Christian people, you know. Don't judge me. Well, I think it's safe to say Jesus is not saying that you can't form informed judgments and evaluations. He's not saying you shouldn't exercise good judgment. I mean, you have to. Should I go in business with this person? Should I marry this person? Can I trust this person to watch my kids? Obviously, you have to exercise good judgment, even sometimes about people. We're going to see, in fact, this morning that in this very passage, Jesus isn't telling us not to exercise good judgment. Rather, he's actually encouraging us to exercise good judgment. But I believe he is telling us to not be judgmental. This is what he says. He says, judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. So Jesus is not telling us that you can't exercise good judgment. You have to. Well, what about a judge? A judge has to pass judgment. You know, and we're all in situations sometimes where you have to make decisions. Should I hire this person? Should I not? You have to use good judgment. But Jesus is telling us, don't be judgmental. That is, don't be quick to condemn other people. We talked about this to some degree last time, that in the Jewish culture, the people were often taught to love one another, as they should. And after all, they were all Jewish. They're all family. They're all related to each other. And so I'm sure they had quarrels and arguments and fights. And yet they were taught, no, you have to love one another. But they felt that when it came to the Romans, when it came to other people, that was different. Love your friends, love your family, but hate your enemies. And it felt justified because, well, frankly, you didn't know any Romans. You didn't really know any Roman people. I mean, you may occasionally see a Roman soldier or an officer, but you didn't know them personally. They were those people out there, and they were different. They weren't believers. They were pagan, and they were oppressing us, you know, and they weren't part of our group. It's easy to demonize a whole group of people and just hate them all. They're all the same. They're all Romans. They're all dirty, filthy, pagan Romans. And so that was kind of the teaching of the day. Love your friends. Hate your enemies. And we saw last time that Pharisees took it a step further because they said, you know, even a lot of Jewish people aren't really very Jewish. Your tax collectors, your prostitutes, even the crowd, you people aren't as Jewish as you ought to be. Because for Pharisees, being a really righteous Jewish person involved all these man-made traditions and rules like ceremonially washing your hands 7 times a day. And that approach to righteousness breeds a judgmental attitude. If righteousness is a matter of keeping these outward rules, if me ceremonially washing my hands 7 times a day, if that somehow makes me more righteous, it's really not hard to notice that my neighbor doesn't do it. You know, if washing my hands 7 times a day makes me a more righteous person, well, what does that say about my neighbor who doesn't do it? And so it just breeds a sort of judgmental attitude because righteousness is a matter of just keeping these little rules. It makes it very easy to say who's better than whom. Truth is, though, judging other people is actually quite difficult. You know, righteousness isn't just these outward traditions and outward rules. And it's very, very difficult to judge people. It's very hard to put yourself in someone else's position, in their situation, to know their background. It's almost impossible to know all the different sides of a story, to know all the facts. You certainly can't know someone else's motives. You know, at best, you can see what someone does or you can hear what they say. Even that's difficult. So often, people are misunderstood and circumstances are misunderstood. But you really can't ever really know somebody's heart. You can't know their motives. And so it's really very, very difficult to judge someone accurately. A lot of times, I find myself in situations where this person says that something happened and someone else says it didn't happen. And I don't know. How would I know? I think it'd be wrong for me to say what happened because I don't know. All I can say is this person said it happened. And I don't have to decide. We're not God. God doesn't expect us to know all things. I think it's the height of pride to feel like that. I've known people who say, oh, I can tell when someone's lying. I can tell. Or I can tell she's telling the truth. Well, yeah, sometimes. Suppose you can tell somebody's lying. Sometimes you can tell somebody's sincere. But, you know, people can be sincerely mistaken. Haven't you been in a situation where you're arguing with your spouse and everything, and then later when you talk it out, oh, that's right, I had forgotten she did say that. And you were sincere, but you were sincerely wrong. You as you talk it out, there were parts of that discussion I left out and I forgot about. Well, often there are situations where you can hear what one person says, you can hear what another person says, and both seem sincere, but they're contradicting each other, and you have no way of knowing what really happened. Besides, often you only hear one side of the story anyway, and it's very difficult, if not impossible, to really, truly judge someone. Sometimes you're going to be in a situation where you have to make at least functional judgments. You know, do I hire this person? Do I let this person into my home? Do I let this person watch my kids? But we really aren't able to make ultimate judgments about people because we have no way of knowing all the facts. Jesus says, judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. I mean, you could take this really as a formula for how to get along with people. You know, that in general, other people will treat you the way you treat them. If you're forgiving, people will tend to be forgiving. If you're very critical, people will tend to be critical of you. You could just take it as kind of a general approach that in general, treat other people the way you want them to treat you. And I think there's a certain amount of truth to that. If you're gracious and generous to people, in general, they'll be gracious to you. But I don't really think that's what Jesus is saying, because he goes on to say, give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Now, you know from your own experience that often you can be very gracious and forgiving, and people don't always treat you back that way. You can be very kind, and people can take advantage of you, and you walk all over you. And certainly, when you're generous, it does not mean someone's going to turn around and give you back even more. I don't think Jesus is saying, here's a formula for how to get along with people. But rather, I think he's talking about how the Lord is going to treat you. I believe he's telling us here that even if things are tough in this life, and they often are, following Jesus will always be rewarded. Now remember, Jesus is talking to a large crowd here, including some wealthy people, some from the cities, from the coast, and some from Jerusalem. And many have come just for the day. They've come for the first time. They've come because they want to be healed, or they want to see this new preacher for the first time. So you had this large multitude of people, and then you have the disciples. And they're really a different category of people because the disciples have been following Jesus from town to town. And this isn't a one-time thing for them. They're dedicated, they're committed, and they're paying the price. The disciples have left their jobs and their families and their relationships. And so they're poor. They're living hand to mouth. Jesus just said earlier that they're hungry. And that's a totally different group of people. And they're not often going to be treated fairly. Remember, we saw that Jesus told the disciples that sometimes you're going to be hated and kicked out of the synagogue for my name's sake. So there's proof that sometimes even when you're gracious and kind, people aren't always going to treat you that way. Jesus says, love your enemies and bless those who curse you, even though they may not be treating you that way. You show grace and mercy and kindness toward others. Rather, what I think Jesus is doing, he's reassuring us that even when things aren't fair, I mean, for people to be punished because they're following Jesus, to be kicked out of the synagogue because you're following Jesus, that's unfair. Even when things aren't fair, even when you're being mistreated, following Jesus will be rewarded. What he's saying is, if as a follower of Christ, you seek to be gracious and not judgmental. You want to be forgiving and not condemning others. If as a follower of Christ, you seek to be gracious, God is going to be gracious to you. God will forgive you. God will not judge you. God will not condemn you. If you as a follower of Christ are seeking to be generous to others, Jesus is reassuring you that in this life and in the life to come, God will be generous and God will give to you. This is what he says. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. All right. You ever buy a brand new bag of potato chips? Okay, brand new, unopened bag of potato chips. You open it up, you look inside, and it's half empty. Right? You've just opened it, and it's half empty. Or you buy a box of cereal. You know, or maybe you take it out of the pantry. You're opening it for the first time. You look inside, it's half empty. And the bag will say contents may settle something. And what they're saying is that at the factory, that bag of potato chips was filled up, or that box of cereal was. And then somehow in delivery, it's settled. As it shook around, it settled, and now it doesn't look like much. All right, in Palestine, you go to the market. You often don't have a bushel basket. You would, if you're going to buy grain, you would simply take the corners of your robe and you'd lift it up, and you pay the man, and he dumps grain into your lap. Well, you could do that. You could just pay your money. He dumps grain in, and you walk away. Or you could shake it and let the grain kind of settle down. It gets into the different folds of it, and the air bubbles get out. And then you could have a guy press it down and make more room. And then he dumps more in and more in and more in and more in. Now you're really getting your money's worth. Now you're getting more than your money's worth. Jesus says, that's how God gives. That's how God gives. He says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Think you want to be gracious to people. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You don't want to be foolish. You don't have to let people take advantage of you. But you can be forgiving, and you can be gracious, and you can be generous, because as a follower of Christ, God is gracious with you. You want God to be gracious to you. You want God to forgive you and pardon you. And so you want to show others the kind of mercy you want to receive from the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven you. You want to show the kind of mercy to others that God is showing you. Or to put it another way, judge yourself before you judge others. Verse 39, speaking of Jesus, it says, he also told them a parable. Now, I've mentioned that we often think of a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, which is often true, but a parable is not always a story. Sometimes it's a saying or a proverb. In this case, it's a question. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Now, in the ancient world, you didn't have seeing eye dogs. You didn't have all the different resources they have today for the seeing impaired. If you're blind, you've got to have someone lead you around, okay? Or you're gonna get in trouble. The terrain in Palestine was very rough, and you had gullies and hills and pits, and you've got to have someone leading you around. Imagine if you were blind, somebody's leading you around, and then to your horror, you discover the man who's leading you is also blind. You would not be happy. Jesus says, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit?" Well, Jesus is clearly here talking about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were supposed to be leading the people. They were supposed to be teaching the people and showing them how to live and where to go. And yet the Pharisees themselves were blind to the mercy of God. The Pharisees were judgmental and critical because that's what they thought God was like. From their perspective, look how hard life is. We're suffering under the Romans. Taxes are outrageous. Life is so unfair. They were judgmental and critical because they felt that's the way God is. And they were hyper attentive to all these little details because they thought that's the way God was. And they were blind to God's mercy. They were focusing on the fact that, oh, this is so terrible. We have to live under the Romans. Instead of seeing how good God is and how God has given us life and how God has blessed us and he's given us his word and he gives us health and he gives us family, they were blind to the mercy of God. And I think Jesus is warning them here about following these blind Pharisees who are only going to lead you away from God's mercy and into the pit. Choose wisely whom you're going to follow. Jesus is not, when he says judge not, he's not saying don't exercise judgment. I think to the opposite, he's saying you better think very carefully, and you better choose wisely who you're going to listen to. Okay, what podcasts you're going to listen to, or what blogs you're going to read on the internet, or what books you're going to get into, or what speakers you're going to get into. Be very careful. Okay, because, well, this is what Jesus says. A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. You know, before you get into something, you need to ask yourself, what kind of person is this? Who wrote this book? What kind of person is this? What is his life like? Is that the kind of person I want to be? Is this person going to lead me into being more merciful and gracious? Because he says, you're not going to be greater than your teacher, but as you grow and learn, you're going to become like your teacher. Don't think you could sit under the teachings of the Pharisee day after day after day and not be influenced by that kind of legalism, that self-righteousness. You've got to ask yourself, is this teacher going to lead me into becoming more merciful? Am I gracious in my life? Or is he going to lead me into a pit? You need to think seriously and choose wisely whom you're going to follow. Now, that doesn't mean you nitpick other people. I know some people are just unteachable because they find fault with everybody. It doesn't mean you nitpick every leader and every teacher, because you also have to consider carefully the kind of example that you're setting. Jesus says a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Well, some scholars would say that he has in mind here the disciples, and in particular, the apostles, as the alternative to the Pharisees. The apostles are never going to be greater than Jesus, but as they grow, they're going to become more like Jesus. And some would say, here, what he's doing here is he's offering up the apostles as an alternative instead of following the Pharisees. Follow the apostles as they're learning to be more like me, as they're learning more about the mercy of God, as they're learning how to show mercy. But he does say this. He says, everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. And so you got to be careful who you're going to listen to and who you're going to follow, but you've also got to ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting? It's very easy to nitpick. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to find fault. But you need to ask yourself, what would the world be like if everybody was like you? What would the church be like if everyone in the church was like you? I don't know if you're following the NBA finals at all, but several nights ago now, some sports writers were very critical of LeBron James because at a key moment, he didn't take a three-point shot, but he passed the ball. And so some of the sports writers brought that up, and LeBron James laughed. Well, for one thing, he had a phenomenal game. Secondly, most of these sports writers had never played basketball. And you know, he understood that it's so easy to nitpick. You know, hindsight's 20/20. Any of us can look back later and evaluate and critique. It's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback. But to get out there and live, to get out there and serve, that's hard. It's very easy to find fault. But to actually get involved in life, to get involved in ministry, to get involved in work, and where you run into the real life complexities and the difficulties and the impossibilities and the things you have no control over, you want to be careful who you follow, but you've also got to think about what kind of example are you setting for other people? What would happen if everyone else became more like you? Jesus says, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? A speck is like a speck of dust or something like that, or a splinter, a little piece of sawdust or something. And you've been in that situation where sometimes somebody says, oh, I got something in my eye. Can you look, see if I have something in my eye? It's almost impossible to see something in somebody's eye. You know, maybe you can see an eyelash or something like that, but that's very difficult. Jesus says, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Obviously, Jesus is using exaggeration. He's using humor. He says, here you are. You're trying to get a speck out of somebody's eye, which is hard enough. You can't see a thing because you've got a log in your eye. I mean, nobody would literally have a log in their eye, but he's using humor to describe the Pharisees. The Pharisees were trying to take a speck out of people's eye. For example, elsewhere Jesus says that the Pharisees would tithe, which is good. They would give one-tenth of their income back to the Lord, back to worship as a gift and service. That's good. But they would even tithe things in their garden, including their herb garden. You know, their mint. Jesus says that that's good. But the Pharisees tended to neglect the weightier matters, the bigger matters of the law, like mercy and kindness. So here the Pharisees are, and they're supposed to be leading people, and they're telling them things like, you really need to wash your hands ceremonially 7 times a day. You really got to start tithing your herbs, your mint. That's like taking a speck out of someone's eye. And yet they really couldn't see to help because they themselves had a log in their eye because they didn't understand God's mercy. They couldn't see God's mercy. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? Now, Jesus is not saying everybody else is better than you. Everybody else just has a little speck and you've got a log. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is that we all have things that make it very difficult to see and judge people accurately. Okay? Aside from the fact that we never get both sides of the story and you can never really know someone's motives in their hearts and you can never really get all the facts. Aside from all that, we all have a log in our eye. Our own opinions, our own preferences, our prejudices that keep us from really seeing and judging people accurately. You know, you're talking to someone who's really struggling with something that you've been through. And maybe you really sympathize with them because, I know what that was like. And so maybe you're very gracious and patient with that person, maybe even too patient. And then here's somebody else and they're struggling with some problem that you can't imagine ever getting. You've never even been close to being tempted to that. And it's harder for you to be understanding and supportive. We all have those prejudices, those biases, those logs in our eye. And especially we tend to minimize how merciful and gracious God is with us. And because of that, we're not very good at helping other people. The Pharisees could not see the mercy of God. All they could see is the Romans. They saw how hard life is and how God is so hard on us, and they couldn't see the mercy of God. And so how could they really help other people in becoming merciful? Jesus says, you hypocrite. And we've talked about that word before. Hypocrite has the idea of being fake or phony, two-faced. It comes from that Greek word for people in a play. They wear a mask. And he said, you hypocrite, you're wearing a mask. You know, if being righteous is just a matter of washing my hands 7 times a day, and it's a mask, you're pretending to be righteous. We fall into that so easily. We look down on somebody else, and then we tend to be better. Jesus is saying, take off the mask. You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye. Okay, take off the mask and acknowledge before the Lord who you are and your shortcomings and your sins and your weaknesses and your struggles and see God's mercy in your own life. Take off the mask. Take the log out of your own eye. Consider God's mercy toward you, and then you'll see clearly to take out the speck that's in your brother's eye. Jesus doesn't say don't try to help your brother. Go ahead, help your brother. But first, you need to take the log out of your own eye. When you go to stand before the Lord, God will not say to you, now, first of all, I want you to report on everybody else and let me know what they've been doing wrong. God's not going to ask you to do that. You've got to give an account for yourself. That's your number one responsibility. When you stand before the Lord, God is not going to ask you to explain other people's sins and problems. You're going to have to give an account for yourself. And so the first thing you want to do is take the log out of your own eye. And you want to see the grace and the mercy of God towards you in Jesus Christ. But then Jesus doesn't say, and all that matters is your own personal life. Once you see the mercy of God, now you're able to help other people. Not like a Pharisee would, but like the apostles would. Not in a judgmental way, not in a condemning way, but in a merciful way, a gracious way. We still need to warn people when they're getting into sin or when they're doing something foolish. But we don't want to do it in a way that's condemning. We do it in a way that's gracious. we still sometimes have to be firm. We have to be honest. We have to tell the truth. We're not called to be foolish or naive, but you can do it in a way that's not judgmental. You can do it in a way that's kind and gracious and firm. And it all begins because you've seen God's mercy in your own life. You take the log out of your own eye and you realize just how merciful God is, and that enables you to help others with mercy and with kindness. The only person who really has a right to judge ultimately is Jesus. I mean, we have to form provisional judgments, functional judgments. You have to, should I hire this person or not? You got to make a judgment. But it's not an ultimate judgment. You know, maybe that guy is a good guy. Maybe he would have been a good worker. I don't know. It's a function. I just have to make a decision. I just don't think I can trust him. Only Jesus can make ultimate judgments. He knows the whole picture. He knows your whole life. He knows the whole story. He knows a person's motives. And only Jesus has perfectly kept the law. Now, he's the only one who's truly righteous in that sense. And yet, such is his mercy that Jesus does not just look down his nose on us and condemn us all, which he very well could. He could just condemn us all. He could look down, and he would be right to do so, to look down on us all and condemn us all. And yet, in his mercy, he doesn't do that at all. But rather, Jesus came, and he fulfilled the law for us. And he who is the judge, I mean, he is the judge of all the earth. Jesus Christ will judge all mankind. And yet he hung on the cross, and he was judged in our place. And he was, the perfect man was condemned for us. And as we saw last time, while we were yet sinners, Christ gave his life for us. While we were yet his enemies, he gave his life. That's mercy. That's compassion. That's grace. And as you take the log out of your eye, and as you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and you see his mercy and his compassion toward you, it enables you to show others the kind of mercy that you want to receive. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, do help us, Lord, to take the log out of our own eye, to rid ourselves of the biases, the prejudices, the things that distort us, that keep us from seeing things accurately, especially, Lord, the things that would keep us from seeing your goodness and your mercy to us. We confess that we often are ungrateful. We really do often suspect you're just not treating us as well as we deserve. And we need that log removed from our eye to see how merciful and good and gracious you are, that you treat us far better than we deserve. Help us, Lord, to remove that log. Help us to see your grace and mercy so that we can show that mercy and grace to others. Lord, this is our prayer. We ask for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.